Colonel Gilmore, Reel 6. Now, we just want to pick up on a few points based on the notes which are in Sellers on page 173, which you gave for a staff college thing. Now, one thing that I find very interesting is you say that one of the problems was caused by the smoke from the barrage, plus the dust thrown up by the huge number of British tanks. Now, could you, it made it difficult to see what was happening, where the Germans were firing. Could you comment on this now? Was it a real problem, or...?
It was quite a problem. You lost the sense of direction because of the amount of smoke.
And it was coming from the British barrage?
Mainly, I think. But also, I think fires had started, particularly in the villages.
Caused by the barrage. Yeah. And so this smoke, and was it actually sort of, it sounds like it was impeding your progress, where you were going, as well as not being able to see who was firing at you?
Yes, it gave you a sort of loss of sense of direction.
Now, it also, in this then, I mean, this is sort of 40 years ago that you were remembering this, but... for the staff college, but it says that first you saw some German tanks moving east of Borgobus, that's the ridge. Would that be, is that correct? I mean, would you know these names, or would they have been things that you'd been told at the staff college? I mean, at the time, did you know that was Borgobus, that was La Hogue, where the self-propelled guns were, and that it was the village of Solliers that you approached?
Yes, I think so.
Now, the self-propelled guns, that you hadn't mentioned them before, you saw them as well. They're very similar to tanks, aren't they? But, I mean, they were openly firing from La Hogue, is that correct?
Yeah.
And what do you remember of them? Did you return the fire?
Yes, we did. The thing was that we had lost so many tanks at this time that we really lost all impetus to advance.
So there were as many self-propelled guns and tanks as there were of you. So you were outnumbered almost.
Yeah.
And when you approached Solliers, that was held by infantry and anti-tank guns. Do you remember what your assessment of the situation was there? Because apparently you called for typhoon fire. Typhoons to attack.
We called in typhoons to help try and knock out the anti-tank guns. But I don't think at the time we realised that some of the fire was coming from anti-tank guns even further back than we were actually seeing.
So, did you see the typhoon's attack? Could you see that, or was that obscured by...
Yes, we saw the typhoon's attack, yes.
How effective were they?
Well, I think they were quite effective.
Did they quieten down the opposition from Solliers? Did you take Solliers, or did you not get that fight? It doesn't look like you did. It looks like
yes,
that's where you,
Solliers,
you actually got into the village.
We got to the outskirts of the village, yes. But trouble is, didn't want to get involved inside a village.
Why not?
Because you could be so easily attacked with grenades and...
Had bazookas come out then?
And bazookas, yes.
And you were aware of the threat?
Yes.
So infantry were a serious opposition in a ruined village?
Yes.
And you were too weak to do it?
Yes.
Did you have infantry support with you, or would that be what you needed to enter a village?
Normally, you wanted infantry support, and we did have support, of course, from 8th Rifle Brigade.
And where were they?
Well, they were with us.
Could they not have dealt with the infantry and Solliers? Or had they suffered casualties?
Well, I'm not very certain.
You don't know what had happened, right? And the other thing is, how did you get through to the typhoons? How did you put through your request for the typhoons? Would you just ask brigade, or would you ask regimental headquarters, or who would you ask?
It would be done through brigade.
And they'd sort it out?
Yeah.
Now, I think that deals with Goodwin. Is there except that I think you've got some fairly pertinent comments about the whole tactics employed in the battle. Could you just give us your thoughts on the whole battle as it was planned and whether that was a good plan or not?
Well, I think that it was a bad plan because a certain amount of hindsight one discovered was that if you fought in close country, the enemy needed an anti-tank gun every 100 yards or so if they were to stop you, whereas if you went to open country, a few anti-tank guns at long range could do a great deal of damage. And whilst this is to a certain extent hindsight, what was so apparent in the battles which we fought after Goodwood was that if you fought with infantry support, which we did.
Close infantry support.
We actually had infantry soldiers riding on the back of tanks with us. If you fought in infantry support, the enemy needed an anti-tank gun every few hundred yards in order to stop you, whereas a few anti-tank guns in open country could do a massive damage. And the North African concept, which Montgomery brought in, as you might say, was disastrous.
So, although Bocage country has got a bad reputation as tank country, in one way, because it was easy to ambush a tank, in actual fact, when it came to a major attack, it was better because they didn't have the fields of fire to prevent a mass attack. Would that sum it up?
That sums it up, yes.
Now, you said it was with hindsight. When did you realise that? Did you realise that when you fought in the Bocage, or were you starting to realise that on that night?
Well, this came from our experience after Goodwood.
So at the time, you could see. You thought, though, on the night of the 18th that had been a bad plan.
Yeah.
Now, I think we move on to the next day. You mentioned that the regiment was reorganised into basically one squadron. Now, the book says it was organised into A and C, but I think it only had 25 tanks, so I don't quite know what they mean by that. As far as you were concerned, it was basically one squadron, and you were the second in command of the regiment, or what was left of the regiment. Now, the next day, the plans were to move up and capture Hubert Folly, or Herbert Folly, I'm not sure which it is, late in the afternoon. Now, what were you doing to reorganise the unit and get it ready for that during the day? Do you remember what you had to do, or what you were trying to do?
I don't think we did anything very particular except to get the tanks together. But unfortunately, we lost Major Pohl killed by artillery barrage when he was out of his tank, when the reorganization was taking.
Could you tell me the circle? Did you see what happened to him? Because he was at. People say he'd just been to an O group. And he was coming back that he called. What do you remember of how he was killed? Did you see it?
All I remember is hearing a radio message saying that from his tank, saying that he had been killed outside his tank.
How did you feel? He'd been a personal friend. He was married to you.
It was very sad, and Eric Scott and I actually conducted the burial service for him.
That same morning or later?
That early afternoon that day.
So he was buried locally, was it a temporary grave?
Yes, buried temporarily in a grave, yes, and marked.
Now, what about the attack that 6 o'clock in the afternoon or early evening, the attack on Herbert Folly? What do you remember of that? It seems to have been a fairly simple affair.
We got into, having had terrific opposition the day before, we got through comparatively easily and captured the ridge and the village, which was, you know, quite surprising.
Had the Germans pulled out, or what had happened to change the situation?
Well, I think they'd been partly driven out by the British barrage of gunfire.
So there was a big preliminary barrage again.
Yes.
And
bombing as well.
Another bombing attack. Do you remember anything about the move on Herbert Volley? Or the ridge?
Not
personally. As second in command, would you still be going forward with the tanks, or would you be with the colonel, with the what remained of headquarters?
Well, no, I was really acting as commander of what was left of the squadron, as you might say.
So you were commander in the field?
Yes.
And the colonel was the commander of at regimental headquarters.
Yes.
So you went forward with the tanks, and he would be with... And it was a success. Was any did you take infantry with you this time? Because I think there was closer support from infantry.
I think we had KSLI with us.
And did they travel on the back of the tanks, or were they just close to?
I don't remember whether they travelled on the back of the tanks. They did so often afterwards, it's difficult to remember exactly.
Now, after that attack, they went into lager at Demouville for a couple of days, and then to Ardennes Abbey, where basically for about a week that the unit was reorganised. Mm-hmm. Now, how was the unit reorganised, and what was your role? Did you go back to B Squadron at this stage?
Yes, I went back to commanding B Squadron, and I was for a time still acting as second in command, and I went with Major Blacker of the 23rd Hussars to the 24th Lancers, which was the regiment that was broken up, in order to get us brought back to something like regimental strength. And the 24th Lancers had been part of our armoured brigade, and under Montgomery's idea of changing and bringing in battle experienced troops, they had been taken away from us, and funnily enough, the 24th Lancers were commanded by a cousin of mine, Colonel Anderson, whose family came from Largo here in Fife, and whose father won the Victoria Cross in the 1418 War.
Now, this question, I mean, I understand that there was quite a lot of fear that it might be the Fife and Forfar who were broken up, because there wasn't much of you left. Were you aware of fears at the time and a determination to keep the regiment going?
But if the 24th Lancers hadn't been broken up, I think we would have been disbanded.
So it was a real threat?
Yes.
Did you consider, I mean, were you worried about it? Did you want to carry on, obviously, the regiment?
Well, we didn't really have time to worry too much about that. It happened all so quickly that...
Now, who did you get in from the 24th Lancers? How many... Did you get a complete troop or a complete squadron? How were they brought in?
Well, my recollection is that Major Blacker and I went to the 24th Lancers and saw their acting commanding officer, because Colonel Anderson had been wounded and was invalided back to hospital at home. And we agreed how many officers and men were available, and we split them up between us.
Now, they'd presumably been badly damaged as well, the 24th. So were there many officers and men to take?
There were a whole lot of officers whom we knew quite well, because they'd been serving with us ever since 41 at Bridlington when the 29th Armed Brigade was first set up.
So how many did you get, roughly?
I don't remember the exact numbers now.
Was it a squadron's worth, or I mean, or was it a troop's worth, or?
Oh, we got the equivalent of about two squadrons.
Two squadrons, and how did you spread them out and sort them out? I mean, did you keep them as squadrons, sort of A and B or C, or did you mix them up with Fife and Forfar men to form three new squadrons?
We kept them together as tank crews.
They were Sherman tanks. But did you keep them as... did you spread them out amongst the squadrons other than at that? So that... the crews would stay together, but they'd be split up amongst your...
mixed up amongst...
And how did they fit in? Weren't they resentful at their unit being broken up?
They fitted in very well, because we had known them and served with them for so long.
Didn't they mind being broken up? I mean, you'd have been fed up if you'd have been broken up. How did they feel about...
I don't think that they had the same... They didn't have... an identity in the same way that our regiment had, that of all coming from the same geographical area, which we did.
So it wasn't such a wrench to them.
It wasn't such a wrench as far as they were concerned.
Do you remember any of the particular senior officers you got, or more senior officers at that time?
No, I don't remember.
Now, what about the time, it's also at Ardenne Abbey, the recce...
We didn't get any senior officer from them, because A squadron was taken over by Captain Hutchison, and I continued in B squadron, and C squadron
you're not quite sure at the moment. We'll come back to C squadron. Now, what was Captain Hutchison like? I mean, we haven't talked about Captain Hutchison, Pinky Hutchison. What was he like as a chap?
Oh, he was one of our local. He came from Largo and the next door neighbour here.
Was he a good officer?
Yes, very.
What do you think made a good officer for you? What, I mean, when you were looking at an officer, and you were getting to be a senior officer now, and you were assessing officers, what made you think, that's a good officer, that's not such a good officer? What were you looking for?
Well, I think we had experience of him over many years, and he'd been with the regiment ever since the start of the war, and knew the men well and integrated absolutely.
You thought it was important to you that an officer got on well with his men?
Yeah.
What about tactical skills, ability in battle? You looked for that, obviously.
Yes, we did. I mean, we had only had experience of two battles.
Now, while you were there, the recce troop and the anti-aircraft troop were both broken up, and their men were sent to the tanks. Do you remember that? Who took that decision, and why was it done? I mean, the recce troop, what, and the anti-aircraft troop, why them? Why were they broken up?
I think it was a question of the shortage of manpower. There wasn't enough to go round, therefore you had to do without.
Were the anti-aircraft troops seen as a luxury? There don't seem to have been many German aircraft about. So, now, the next thing, the next big attack, which you may remember, is after Ardenne Abbey, they went up to Caumont on the 30th of July, where they attacked with 159 on the high ground west of Caumont. Now, B squadron were very much involved in this, and with the Herefords, but they lost seven tanks on a minefield. Now, do you remember this engagement at all? If you could tell us about that. Because I've not heard much about this. Men don't seem to remember it.
No, I don't remember that very well.
What about the problem with minefields? Could you talk about that then? I mean, if you say in the general sense, were mines a big problem?
Oh, yes, the mines were quite a... One of the troubles was that the mines were not very devastating as far as tanks were concerned, but sometimes if anyone got out of a tank, it tended to step on a mine.
So the tank would be stopped and then people get out and they'd have more trouble.
Yeah.
Was there also just a thing of they block the road? I mean, once a tank was hit by a mine, it would normally stop and cause a blockage to the road.
Yes, not. You could tow it away comparatively. I mean, the mine simply broke the track. It didn't.
It wouldn't harm the underneath of the tank.
No.
But you don't remember this attack on Caumont. The next one after that was St. Martin de Bessasses. There was a series of fighting in the St. Martin des Bessasses area. What's the next thing you remember of this fighting? I think that's probably the best way of looking at it.
Well, one thing was that from after Woodward, we were so much better integrated with the infantry in all the attacks that we made, that this was, we never moved, as you might say, unless we had close infantry support. And we ran, and we had very close relationship with the Rifle Brigade and one particular company that always, you might say, was attached to us.
The B squadron or to the regiment?
This was, I think it was C company of the...
Were they attached to the regiment or your squadron?
They were attached to the regiment.
And would you get to know the officers personally?
Yes.
And do you remember any of the...
I don't remember them very well now.
How did you liaise with the infantry then? I mean, were they put on your regimental net?
They came onto the net, yes.
And what were the advantages of working so closely with the infantry, would you say?
Well, it gave one... You had confidence that you had help to deal with... with not being, as you might say, ambushed from behind when you were advancing. When you know, if you passed over the thing, if you didn't have infantry support, you always had danger that somebody would come to life behind you, and with having the infantry there, this protected your behind.
Now, they'd travel on the tank. Would they be in lorries as well?
No, they were in Bren gun carriers.
So they'd be coming along the road or whatever behind you. Were bazookas? You mentioned people getting behind you. I presume you'd notice a gun, an 88 or something. But was this main problem then infantry, German infantry with bazookas?
With a bazooka, yeah.
Was the bazooka, I mean, it's not really that well known a weapon now, in a way, but was it seen, what was the danger to tanks of bazooka?
The back of a tank was very dangerous, very vulnerable to a bazooka.
Was this the question of the engines
yeah.
and the petrol?
Petrol engines, and they exploded very easily.
Would a bazooka penetrate the main armour on the front or on the turret?
The engines were in the
what back. I mean is, it would penetrate the armour on the rear, but would a bazooka be any danger to you if they weren't behind you? I mean, would the armour stop it if it hit...
I think the armour would stop it in the front,
So it was the main risk of bazookas was if they got behind, and therefore infantry helped reduce that risk. Were there any other advantages of having infantry with you? Any other advantages of having infantry with you? Not that particular at the moment. Do you remember the fighting at St. Martin de Bessas?
Not particularly.
And what's the next major battle that you recall? Because they moved round, and then there was Cormorne, St. Martin, and the Veer Road. I don't know whether you remember the Veer Road operations.
The next I can't remember the name of the ridge that we got to, with a road running along the top of it, which was a sort of limit of our advance.
And what happened there?
And we had a major counterattack by German tanks, which we fought off.
What was a tank battle like? I mean, it's almost impossible now to describe, to think what, you know, it's a different experience for people. What was it like in a tank, in a tank battle?
Well, it was a question of trying to make certain that you didn't, that you kept your own vehicles in a sort of hull-down position so as to reduce their vulnerability to attack, and you needed to make certain that you didn't advance too much into the open.
So a hull-down is where the main body of the tank was out and just the gun peeped above. Was it your responsibility as commander to spot German tanks? Because no one else would be able to see in a tank. Speaking as a tank commander, no one else would have much of a field of vision, would they?
No, it was, of course, your leading tanks had to usually find out by being attacked, as you might say, rather than by finding the...
So usually they'd be ambushed. Mm-hmm. When you actually saw a tank, though, in your tank, would it be your job to give orders to the gunner to tell him where to aim, or would the gunner be? I mean, the gunner's perspective is pretty limited, isn't it?
So you would have to direct the gunner. Yeah. But then, when eventually you directed him, he ought to be able, eventually through his, he had a telescopic sight on his gun, and he should be able to.
So he'd take over.
Yeah.
But you'd say, would you give it in degrees, or just say left?
Yeah.
Which? Would you use degrees, 40 degrees left, or?
Yeah.